be with you. And if we can be together till the Redeemer comes, then that's something that we should do. I just wanna take care of you. Wish you for the position to be a man. Do you understand? And I just want you to see that other than Jesus, who else can do you quite like me? You know I will. What I'm really more concerned about, just how you feel. And we may have debates sometimes about whose love is deeper, yours or mine. But I think it's me, 'cause my love is deeper than the deep blue sea. And I can't live a day without you. You're trying to hold your smile, let me get that about you.
I see you.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessings and glory and honor to his holy name. Praise the Lord on today. Welcome to Platinum Ruby Radio. I am a Ruby Border Sunday Worship Explosion. Blessings to each and every one of you that is on the line on today. I pray that God meets you where you are on this worship Sunday explosion. Hallelujah. We are going to get started with the service with opening prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day. Father God, we just thank you for keeping us safe on last night. Lord God, we just thank you for your continuous protection each and every day of our lives. Lord God, we thank you for every person that is listening in on the line, Father God. We thank you for our apostle. Lord God, we just pray that you will continue to uplift her spirit and continue to heal her body, Father God, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, Father God. Continue to watch over her family, Lord God, and keep them safe and in good health, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for the word that is going to be brought forth on today. Lord God, I just pray that breakthrough true that healing will take place after hearing a word from you, Father God. And Lord God, I just pray that it doesn't fall on deaf ears, that we have our ears wide open, listening to what you have to say, and not only listening, but Father God, we plan to put it into action, because Father God, you said if we love you, we will put it into action. We will do what you say. We won't just call you Lord, Lord, but we will also do exactly what you said, Father God. And Father God, I just pray that you get all the praise, the honor, and glory on this day and each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. And next we are going to have testimony. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them,
"Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?"
They answered,
"No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit."
So Paul asked,
"Then what baptism did you receive?"
"John's baptism,"
they replied. Paul said,
"John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus."
On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say,
"In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out."
7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them,
"Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?"
Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachma. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. After all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia.
"After I have been there, I must visit Rome also."
He sent 2 of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the skilled workers there. He called them together, along with the workers in related trade, and said,
"You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty."
When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting,
"Blessed Artemis of the Ephesians!
soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and all of them rushed together into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front, and they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours.
Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!
The city clerk quieted the crowd and said,
"People of Ephesus, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his associates have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there is anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of what happened today. In that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion, since there is no reason for it."
After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now we're going to have seed planting by Pastor Patricia. The mic is yours.
Glory to God, hallelujah. My God, hallelujah. What a blessimony, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. We are here, my God, to plant our seeds, to pay our tithes and our offering. My God, unto the Lord, my God, this is so special to me because God has just been doing some miraculous things in our life, my God, hallelujah, from walking and trusting and having faith, my God, in what God says, what his word says. Here in Leviticus 27:30-32, it says, "In all the tithes, the tenth part of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree is the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem any part of his tithe, he shall add one-fifth to it." My God, my God. Woo! "For every tithe of the herd or flock, whatever passes under the shepherd's staff," my God, hallelujah, "the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord." My God, hallelujah, Jesus. My God, we need to stop, my God, taking what belongs to the Lord, hallelujah. My God, we need to, my God, hallelujah, stop coming up with excuses to take what belongs to the Lord and do other things with it, hallelujah. And did you hear what 31 says? It says, "If a man wishes to redeem any part of his tithe, he shall add one-fifth to it." I'm not telling you anything that I've heard. I'm not telling you anything that somebody came that I see, but I come to tell you what I know that I know. I believe what God says, hallelujah. And he began to speak to us, my God, to add just a little bit more to the tithe. Add, my God, just a little bit more to your offering. Glory to God. And watch and see what I do. My God, hallelujah. He has been blessing. Oh, my God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ever since we began to walk and operate in what his instructions has told us. So, my God, you can go to, my God, I am a Ruby. my God, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah. And open up, my God, and see that magnificent, gorgeous gold button that says donate, hallelujah. And press it and follow the instructions. Glory to God. You can go to do it through Walmart to Walmart, hallelujah. Oh, my God, whatever means necessary. Oh, my God, pay your tithes and your offering. Give a blessing to the house. Oh, my God, lay your offering at the apostles' feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And watch and see what God does. Hallelujah. But you got to have the right motive. My God, you got to have the right attitude. Hallelujah. You got to know, my God, you got to come before the Lord. My God, put the word of God on your tithe. Put the word of God on your offering. Hallelujah. Be blessed of the Lord on today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everyone be blessed. Lord God, we thank you for this tithe and this offering, my God, hallelujah, that we present to you, oh God, on this day. We lift it up, hallelujah, giving you praise and giving you glory. Multiply it, hallelujah. Make it fruitful for us, oh God, hallelujah. My God, we desire to come, my God, with the authority, my God, hallelujah, that you have given us to speak, to prophesy over our tithes and over our offering, hallelujah. God, we give you glory, hallelujah. We thank you, God, for the avenues, my God. We thank you, God, for the prosperity, my God, that you have placed in our lives to bring back to you what you've given us, hallelujah. And we give you praise on today, hallelujah. Glory to God, my God, hallelujah. We thank you, God. We are grateful, hallelujah. In Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus. Near man, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God.
Hallelujah. And now we will have praise and worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Trust that you lead me. It's easy. I need you to. remember this, has come over me. Hey!
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before we introduce the speaker of the hour, let's all just take our phones off mute and give God some praise that he is rightfully deserved. Hallelujah. Praise God on today. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
Lord God. You are awesome, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people need God to change you? Change me, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Change me, oh God. Search my heart, Lord God. I need you to change me, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm pretty sure all of us on this morning got something that we need God to change about us. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Change us, Father God. You're worthy, Lord God. You're wonderful. You're marvelous, Lord God. Hallelujah. We praise your name on today, Father God. You've been so good to us, Lord God. Even when we're not good to ourselves, Lord God, we just thank you, Father God, on today. We worship your holy name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Change us, Lord. Hallelujah. Change us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Change us right now, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank you,
we God.
Jesus. Worship
hallelujah.
You, Father God. Hallelujah. How
yes,
many people
God.
Came
hallelujah.
Today to worship God? Hallelujah. Has
yes,
he been
God.
Good?
You,
I know that he's been good
Woo.
To me. Has he been good? He's
hallelujah.
Been blessing me each and every day. The fact that I am
yes,
alive
God.
Today,
thank
the fact
you,
that
Jesus.
You are alive today. Hallelujah.
Woo.
God has
hallelujah.
Been blessing
Woo.
Us.
Yes,
hallelujah,
thank
Jesus.
You, Father.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to your holy name, Father. Father God, we worship
yes,
you, Lord, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah
you,
Lord God.
Woo.
Praise your name, Father God. We thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. There's nobody like you, Lord God. Nobody.
Woo,
nobody, Lord.
My God,
nobody
my God.
Greater
hallelujah.
Than you, Lord God.
Woo.
You are awesome, Father God.
Jesus.
You are holy, Lord God. You are
yes,
wonderful,
God.
Lord God.
Hallelujah.
You are awesome, Lord God.
Yes,
awesome,
God.
Awesome, awesome,
Jesus.
Awesome. Hallelujah. We praise
thank
your
you
name,
God.
Lord God.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank
hallelujah.
You, God.
Praise
hallelujah.
Your holy
hallelujah.
Name, Lord.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you have done, Lord God. Everything. Hallelujah. Don't let me praise him by myself. Come on, I know Pastor Patricia is not the only one on the line. Praise God on today. He's done something great for you. I'm certain that you're alive. That's a blessing right there. You got food in your refrigerator. That's a blessing right there.
You
died. He died for us. That's a blessing right there. Hallelujah. He's done something. Hallelujah. Thank God for the things that didn't happen in your life that you were wrong in your life. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the day, Lord God. Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father God. Thank you for my freedom, Lord God. Thank you that I have freedom. Thank you, Father God, that I have peace of mind right now, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. There's nobody like you, Lord
God.
Nobody. Hallelujah. My friend, only oh my goodness, the truest friend that I have ever had. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for hearing every cry, Lord God.
Jesus.
Even when I didn't think that you heard me, Father God, I thank you for hearing every cry, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank
you, God. Thank
you, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We worship you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You
Jesus,
are majestic, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God.
We are here.
Ooh,
here
God.
I am to worship.
Yes,
here
God.
I
hallelujah.
Am to bow down.
Yes,
here
God.
I am
yes.
to say
yes,
that
yes,
you're
in
my Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're
Jesus.
All together.
Yes, hallelujah.
All
ooh,
together.
Hallelujah.
We're
yes, yes, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father
thank God.
God. Hallelujah.
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 Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Lord
Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In your name, Father. Glory
Jesus.
And honor and praise
Lord,
to you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise the name, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you for my health, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I woke up this morning, Father God. You didn't have to do it, but you did it, Lord God, because it's such a loving God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You protect me each and every day. I leave out of my
Jesus.
House and I'm inside of my house, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father
Jesus.
God. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's just a little bit too quiet, my God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Where are the thankful
Hallelujah.
People at, my God? Where are the
Thank
grateful
you,
people at, my God?
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Father God. Hallelujah.
Praise
Ooh,
God.
Glory
Praise
to God. God.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Father. Hallelujah.
Where are you,
Thank
my
you,
God?
Father, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Where are the worshipers?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus,
Hallelujah.
My God, edible
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Hallelujah,
God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Here we are to
Thank
worship
you,
Lord.
God.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, praise
you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Now and forever. Bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
My God,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord God. We praise your name, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We're gonna have Prophetess Lucretia come and introduce the speaker of the hour. Hallelujah. The mic is
Woo.
Yours.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just gonna let God have His way on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to. I'm going to introduce the speaker. And the speaker is the host of the Lord. We invited him to have his way on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So just listen with your clear mind and clear hearts and just listen. Just listen to the Lord speak to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mine sermon. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's begin focusing on a very simple topic, and that is understanding the power and purpose of the kingdom of the air. Understanding the power and purpose of the kingdom of the air. You will probably finally appreciate why media costs so much money and why we must get involved in it. When you leave here today, you will get a revelation of why Arnold Schwarzenegger can spend $120 million on a two-hour movie and make $200 million from it. Or you will finally understand why Madonna and Michael Jackson can command $240 to $250 million a year in their royalties and in their concerts and take home pay in the hundreds of millions of dollars. You're going to probably understand today why the television is so dangerous and so powerful and why the radio is so effective. I want you to listen with an eye and an ear of revelation. Now I'm going to move very quickly because I want to get all of this in before we leave. So please, I want you to begin writing notes right away, all right? We're going to talk about the kingdom of the air as we deal with the kingdom series. And I wanted to shift just a little bit to deal with media because we're going to get back to the kingdom characteristics next week or week after. Dr. Horner will be speaking for us next week, so week after that I'll be speaking. But I want you to listen carefully to what we're going to talk about the media. Now, let's talk about the nature of the media. And please keep my focus up there, please. I'd appreciate it because I'm going to stay with the board. I want you to write as fast as you can. I can't tell you how important this session is for your children, for your grandchildren, and for you. First of all, there's some principles I want you to write down first. The first one is that there's nothing on earth as powerful as the human will. Nothing more powerful than that. Matter of fact, the human will is so powerful that God Himself does not control it. I want you to remember that. There's one thing that God does not control on earth, and it's the human will. Why? Because the very nature of will implies self-control. God gave you the power of will. Number two, the will controls the destiny of man. Your will is the agency of God's kingdom administration. When God establishes kingdom on earth, He wanted it to be administrated through your will. The problem is, your will is yours. The most dangerous gift God ever gave man was a will. And the most precious gift God ever gave man was a will. It's dangerous and it's precious. It's precious because God gave you the same power that He possesses, the power of a will. But it's dangerous because you also have the ability to choose against God. And that's how dangerous a will is. God intended to use the will of man to fulfill His will on earth. So God wanted you to use your will for His will. The only problem is a will gives you the power to choose, even against the will of the one who gave you the will. I want you to follow this thinking now. Number three, the seat of the will is the conscious and the subconscious mind. That's where the will lives. It lives in the heart. Your heart is your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind is the seat of control for your life. Now, you got two minds, in case you don't know. You got a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. Sub means below. So you got a mind that is always conscious, but then you got a mind beneath that that is not always conscious, but it's deeper and more important than your conscious mind. And your conscious mind feeds your subconscious mind information. And the more your conscious mind hears something, it feeds it to the subconscious mind. That is why repetition is dangerous. Repetition constantly goes to your conscious mind. But the more your conscious mind hears something, it begins to deposit it, or can I use the technical term? It downloads it to your subconscious mind. Now, you are safe as long as something is in your conscious mind. You're still safe. Because you can forget what's in your conscious mind. But the key is to get it to your subconscious mind. Once it gets there, then you are in trouble. Why? Because the mind is the center of thought and it holds the key to life. Now, when I use the word mind, another statement to write down, as a man thinketh, so is he. We all know that. But please quote it properly. As a man thinketh where? In his heart. There are two thinkings. There's a think and there's a heart think. Now, the word heart here is a Hebrew word referring to the subconscious mind. That's the one below. Solomon says, you are whatever is in your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is your heart. Your subconscious mind is your heart. Your subconscious mind is your heart. Whoever controls your heart controls your life. Whoever can get enough information into your subconscious mind will control you. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, that's the man. So if you want to control the man, all you've got to do is control his heart. And how do you control his heart? First, you work on the conscious mind first, and you keep repeating, 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 and repeating until the conscious mind deposits it in the heart. And now you're in trouble. That is why some of you are having problems with battles of things you're trying to change and you can't change them. Old habits that you were keeping for the last 20 years and now you want to change and it's tough to change. Young people, that is why God tells you to stay away from evil things. If you keep watching pornography, you keep reading dirty books, you keep listening to bad stories or dirty jokes, and if you keep listening, now the first time you see it, it doesn't bother you. But if you keep seeing it, it becomes downloaded. Now, once something is downloaded on your hard drive, what happens? Even when you are not conscious of it, it is still running. And all you got to do is press the right button, and you see all the pictures in color. That's why the Bible says, take heed what you hear. Why? If you don't control what comes into your conscious mind, it'll soon become a part of your subconscious mind, and it's in your heart. And the Bible says, out of the heart, what? The mouth really speaks. It says, out of the heart comes what? The issues of life. And Jesus said, from whence comes murders and lust and adultery? He says, they are coming from the heart. Everybody say the mind. Write this down, please. The mind is defined as the heart. It determines the future and destiny of a man. I guess what I'm saying today is you are a sum total of the choices you make every day, and whatever you decide to hear and see and listen to constantly will become your future. You become what you're continually hearing. You become what you're continually seeing. That's as simple as life is. Some of you are still plagued with habits that you've been trying to break. And I know I've been dealing with people in counseling. And they say, I've been born again for 20 years and I'm still struggling. And the answer is, you've downloaded some stuff that is still there. Now, how do you clean a hard drive? That's the issue, you computer buffs. How do you clean a hard drive of stuff that's been downloaded? Well, that's a tough thing to do. Sometimes you got to buy a whole new computer because you can't get it off. Everybody say, born all over again. Or what you got to do is you've got to buy another program that literally cleans it out. That's what the Holy Ghost is God's software. Glory, hallelujah. And the material is the Word of God. And the software takes the material, and you're supposed to constantly keep hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God until it drowns out what was there for 20 years. That's the only way to do it. Now, it's really a battle for the soul. Let's talk about the soul, the mind. Write this down quickly. The mind is the center of the soul. What is the soul? The soul is an integration of three parts. Please write this down. The soul is the integration of the mind, the will, and the emotions. In other words, those three things make up your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. What is your soul? Your mind, your will. Come on, everybody say, what is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. All of them make up your soul. So your feelings are in your soul. Your decision-making power is in your soul. And your mind, your thinking bank, is in your soul. That makes your soul the most important part of your life. Let me explain why. The battle in life is for the soul of man. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Now, why did Jesus say that? You see, winning a body is no problem. Even winning a spirit is easy. You get born again in seconds. But winning your soul is a tough job. My job as a teacher and a communicator is to work on your soul. I am after your soul. I want to win your soul. I've already won your body because you're here. And I already won your spirit because you want to find God. But winning your soul is a tougher job. Because winning your soul takes a longer time than winning your body and your spirit. You are born again in a second, but trying to get you converted is a tough job. So the battle is for what? Your soul. The soul of the people, the soul of the nation, the soul of your children, the soul of your spouse, the soul of your entire job. Your soul is in trouble. The attack is against your soul. I want you to get this message. Write this down. The soul is the first component of media created by God. Why is the soul the first component of media? Now, this is new stuff for you, so you got to think about this. The soul is a media because the soul is the mediator between the spirit and the body. The soul is the most dangerous part of your life. Matter of fact, your spirit is not your problem, because you are a spirit. But your soul is your problem, because your soul is the one that dictates what your spirit receives. Don't miss this. I know the devil is in the Bahamas today, because if I was him, I'd come to this meeting myself and sit up front, right here. You sit right there, listen to me teach. Because the devil knows that I got the key to his battle. The devil ain't after your body. Your body's just a bunch of dirt, a lump of dirt. He ain't after your spirit, because your spirit's already filled with someone. But there's a key component that he can still manipulate. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotion. And the soul is the mediator between the spirit and the body. Now, write this down. The soul receives from the senses and deposits in the spirit. Very important. What does the soul do? It receives from the senses. In other words, hearing, tasting, seeing, touching, and feeling all come to the senses, but they all go to the soul. They go to your mind, your will, and your emotions. So whatever you see, touch, taste, feel, or hear goes to your soul. Now, if your soul takes it and deposits it into you, which is your spirit, then you got to make sure to regulate what the soul is picking up from the senses. That's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Take heed means be selective. Regulate your hearing. Choose what you want to listen to. Why? He said, because it will leaven the whole lump. My God. It'll mess up your whole life. Your soul receives from the senses and deposits in your spirit. But here's the other side. It's a little bit difficult now. The spirit reveals through the soul to the body. Now, here's the problem. I need some help. Can you help me? Come here, son. Can you help me? I want you to stand up here. I got to do this visually so everybody could see this. Can you stand right there for me, please? I need someone else too, please. Can you come? I need a woman, a female, okay? Can you just turn facing that way, please? Okay. Can you stand right in front of him here and face that way for me? Thank you, son. I need a lady now. Come, please help me. Thank you, Sylvia. Oh, thank you, Miss Media. Come, come. Hey, that's a good one. Let her come. Yeah, since she's media, she could do this real good. I want you to stand right here. Watch where I'm going to put her. In the middle. Okay? Stand right in the middle of them. Face that way. Now, this is the battle that you're facing right now, every day. Every moment of the day. This is your spirit. This is your body. This is your soul. Now, your body is getting information from what it sees, what it hears, what it tastes, what it touches, what it feels. And it takes it and transmits it to the soul. The soul then takes it and gives it to your spirit. All right? And when the spirit gets that information from the soul that it got from the body, the spirit now has to deal with this information. Problem. Once the spirit gets all this information inside of it, when the spirit wants the body to do something, who does the spirit talk to? The soul. So the spirit gives the directs to the soul and tells the body what to do. Now you got a couple of problems here. Sometimes the body don't want to do what the spirit wants it to do, so the soul is in a battle. It's what you call a mental battle. A battle of the soul. So your spirit says, the information that I got from the body is unrighteous. And the soul says, but that's all the body gave me. The soul cannot give the body, or the spirit rather, what the body didn't receive. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And you hear through what? The body. So the body hears something, the soul takes it, believes it, and gives it to the spirit. Now the spirit receives and conceives it. If your spirit has the spirit of God in it, it's not a spirit that's missing there, it's on the inside of the spirit. That spirit disagrees with what the spirit just received. And the spirit of God says, now that is not righteous information. So the spirit of the man tells the soul of the man, that is not righteous. Tell the body that is not righteous. Tell the body to change source of information. Body says, no, I like how it feels. Soul, come on, feel it. And so the soul feel it from the body. And the soul says, that feel okay. And the spirit says, but it ain't right. So the spirit says, soul, tell the body, stop it. Body says, feels sensually good. Don't you like it, soul? And soul says, I know it's wrong, but it feels emotionally good. And so the spirit loses. And now the spirit is downloading junk that's starving it to death. You know who's the most important part of that whole trinity? It's that soul fella. That soul. Because that soul could decide to reject or accept the power of the soul. So the soul takes from the body, gives to the spirit, but the spirit also takes from the spirit and gives to the soul for the body. So the body can only do what the soul makes it do, and the soul can only do what it accepts from the spirit. That's why the Bible says, do not walk in the flesh, but walk in what? The spirit, and you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thank you very much, oh man. All of that is man. Thank you very much. By the way, you know, there's a female in the middle there. She got the feeling part. Praise God. Write this down. The soul feeds the spirit and receives from the spirit. This is a mystery. The soul feeds the spirit, but it also feeds the body through the spirit, through the soul rather. And it's very important that you be careful what you listen and hear and see and allow to come into your taste buds. That's what drugs are about. Drugs are about tasting and feeling and sensing something that your soul begins to emotionally enjoy and the spirit rejects. But if you do it enough times, it downloads it, and now when you want to quit doing drugs, your problem is it's stuck in your hard drive. So you get saved and saved and saved, but you never get your hard drive clean. The only way to be completely free from any kind of habit is to have a replacement of habits. You got to download new information. Write this down, please. What's the purpose of God in all of this? Number one, man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. That's what man is. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. Say it with me. Man is a spirit, he lives in a body, but he possesses a soul. That's the unity, triunity of man. Whoever controls the soul rules the man. That's it. That's the point. The original purpose of God, therefore, was to rule the seen world from the unseen world through the unseen man living in the seen body on the seen. Get it? In other words, God wanted to control the world through you, but he wanted to do it from the unseen world, and he wanted to do it through your unseen spirit, living in your seen physical body. And he wanted to do that on the seen earth so that his will, which is invisible, could be seen visibly through your actions and through your execution. So God wanted to rule the world through you without coming to the world by and through your spirit. The soul is God's media for kingdom rulership. It's very important to understand this. God wants to rule the world through your soul. That's why the Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper. Notice the focus. Even as your soul prospers. God places the number one prosperity focus on your soul. If you're not prospering in your soul, God says, you are poor in every other area. So if you're not getting the right information, you are actually destroying your life. Very important. Write this down, please. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of the soul, the kingdom of the heart. If the kingdom doesn't get in your soul, the kingdom can't get to the earth. If the kingdom of God cannot get in your soul, it cannot get to the earth. If it cannot get into your heart, the earth will never see the rulership of God. Rulership begins in the heart. That's where it is. And until it gets there, there will be no kingdom manifestation on the earth. The first word of Jesus in his public ministry, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, and Jesus began to preach, repent. The word repent means what? To change your mind. Where's your mind? In your soul. His first attention was given to the soul. If I can get your soul changed, he says, then the kingdom can come from heaven on earth. Now, there's a point I want you to write down here, a very important point, and that is the kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of the soul also. God is battling for your soul. So is Satan. That's my point for the whole day. Satan and God really are not after your body, even though that's important for the earth. They're really after your soul. God is and Satan is. Because whoever controls your soul controls you. I think we become so spooky, we forgot where the battle is. We become so spiritually spooky that we have actually invented demons that don't exist. And we're fighting things that aren't there. And the real battle we're missing. Oh, I was studying the life of Jesus last night, just going through some of the thoughts that he expressed. And it's incredible. I wish I could just teach this for another 2 hours, but you couldn't take it. But Jesus' mind, he was always going after the mind. Always. He said, if you hear my teaching, listen to my teaching. If you follow my words, listen to my words. He said, my words are spirit and they give you life. He's trying to get a thing through your soul. If I can get your mind changed, he says, you'll be sanctified. It's a battle for the mind. So we got two kingdoms and both are after your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. What is your soul? Your mind, your will. That is why most of you are losing your battles. Think about it. Let's deal with one of them just for a second. Emotions. What do you think is making you keep going back to that situation that you know is wrong? It's your emotions. Satan got you, man. One phone call and your knees get weak. Emotions. You're gone back to that ungodly relationship. The battle is over the minute you feel your knees getting weak and you start leaving the house. And you drive in there and know the Holy Ghost screaming at you saying, stop, turn around, don't go back there. He don't love you, she don't love you, stop it. They're going to break up your marriage, stop, stop. And you still driving. It's a battle. And the battle doesn't stop because you're preaching tongues. You got to grab your body. Come on, somebody. He said, I got to beat my body under. Your body got to come here, body. You going back to prayer meeting or back home to eat. It's your emotions. Write this down, please. Let's talk about what is the media. Now, we say the soul is God's media. Let's talk about media. The word media. The word media is from the word medium. Write this down, please. It's very important for every young person and old person to read. Very important to remember this tape. Get this CD, please, I beg you. What I'm teaching today is the key to 2005, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20. Because there is an attack on your soul like you never believe. You got 125 channels in your house with a remote control. And every button is after your soul. So you better understand what they're doing. Every radio station, and every number on the station is after your soul. This ain't entertainment. This is containment. They want to contain you. They want to control you. And that's what it's all about. It's about the media. And the word media is from the word medium. It means to stand between. In other words, the media is a thing between the source and the object. We showed you an example just now. We saw the spirit of man and the body of man. Well, the media is the one in the middle. That's the one that decides which receives what. That's what medium is. The word media means to mediate. Jesus Christ is called the mediator between God and man. Can I hear amen to that? Amen. Oh, I won't stop there for a couple of days and just preach. The Bible says there's only one medium between God and man. Only one. And who is that? The man Christ Jesus. That means if you get information from anybody else, Lord have mercy, to save your soul, you ain't got the right message. Hello? Christ is not one of the prophets between God and man. It says there's only one mediator. I respect Buddha. I appreciate Muhammad. I thank God for Haile Selassie. I thank God for Baha'i Lu La La La. All these guys are great. But the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. That means anybody else will give you distorted communication. Oh, I want to show you something. You're going to believe this. Write this down, please. Media means to interpret. When I travel to foreign countries and I speak to thousands of people in these big meetings, I speak English, they speak Portuguese. I speak English, they speak Russian. I speak English, they speak French. I speak English, they speak Spanish. And I'm standing there, and they put between me and the people this guy. Now, I gotta hope that this guy... come on. ...is telling them what I say. Not only that, I gotta hope he understands it himself, what I'm saying. Boy, interpret, that's what media is. That means the chances of you getting the wrong message is so high when the mediator is in question. Okay. Between me and 10,000 people sitting there is the mediator, the interpreter. Who's the most important in that whole scenario? Who? That fella in the middle. Can you imagine, as important as I am, he's more important than me. And as important as those 10,000 people are, he's more important than they are. Why? He determines what they hear. Come on, talk to me. When you turn that radio on, that TV on, that CD on, that CD player on, when you are taking a chance. When you open a book that you just bought, you're taking a chance. You got to pray. Glory, hallelujah. And that's why we've been so messed up in reading the Bible. Because we are the mediator between us and our understanding. And we got to depend on our concepts and hope they're right. Very important. Now, write this down. The media controls the message, and therefore the quality and the meaning and the essence of the communication. The media controls the message. Now, the source does not control the message. The source knows what he wants to say, but the source got to totally depend on the media to get it right. And if the media gets it wrong, then the people, the object of that message, will get it wrong. Oh, hallelujah. That is why we cannot just allow anyone to preach to the world. And they're preaching to the world, every channel you turn to. This young man that is so famous right now This is a white boy with blonde hair. What's his name? Eminem. He got my name. This young man, Eminem, is a dangerous young man. He's a worship leader. I saw him leading worship the other night with over 70,000 screaming young kids. He was leading worship. I'm not sure which God they were worshiping, but they had their hands raised, and they was going just like you was going to church, and they were swaying with him. 70,000, man, getting it on. And everything he said to them to do, they did. And he was cursing. Sounds like 50 cents. These are mediums. So who do we do? What do we do? Do we allow LeVard and Corey them to sing, or let Eminem sing? See, you got to decide who's going to sing. So Corey sang it this morning. Some of you still ain't figuring out what he's talking about. But he dealing with a medium that ain't for you. Your head too old for that. But you got a 70% of our nation that understands what he's talking about. 70%. So what are we going to do? We got to make sure he get the right message. And I heard my sermons this morning in that song. Amen. And that's what we need. Don't criticize the medium. Check the message it's given. Write this down, please. Media can corrupt, clarify, pervert, or protect the integrity of a message. It can do all those things. It can corrupt it. It can pervert it, or it can clarify it. It can protect it or destroy it. The medium is the most powerful thing in communication. Write this down. The media controls what the receiver hears, thinks, and understands. Very important. The media controls that. And so we need to make sure that the medium that we are using is communicating the right message to the hearers, because the hearers will get whatever the media gives them. We saw a demonstration here this morning. I hope you're not offended by what they showed in the media presentation. But that's happening every day on your television. You ever heard this TV show called My Two Dads? Or you ever heard about Will and Grace? I mean, Will ain't got no grace. You know that these people need grace. But these are serious things. And they are communicating things. I mean, two men kissing on your TV, and your son watching it, your daughter watching it. Two women kissing, and they watching it. And you're sitting there, you don't even know what's going on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You better check the medium in your house. Why? It's controlling what your children think. How do you fight that? What you do is you come on right after Will and Grace and say, "Hello, this is Dr. Miles Monroe. We're here to correct and clarify what they just perverted." Come on, clap loud for me. Praise God. In other words, you don't back out of it. You get in the middle of it. You got to fix it. You got to correct it. You got to clarify it. Why? Bible says be in the world. Get in there. Don't be a part of it, but be in there. You got to get in there. And boy, that's why they got the price so high, because they don't want you in there. They lock you out by finances. That's why the church remains poor. The devil ain't worrying about the church. Just keep them poor. Why? They can't compete with the media of the mind. Write this down, please. God considered mediation as a dangerous power, and he warned us against the use and abuse of it. You know, when I read the scriptures, I was shocked. God is very sensitive about mediums. Why? The thing in the middle is dangerous. So God has a very strong sensitivity to mediums, to media. Let me read a couple of scriptures for you, all right? And you're by the tape, because you're taking too long to write. Praise the Lord. The Bible comments on the power of the media. Now write these scriptures down. Very important. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27. It says, "A man or woman who is a medium or a spiritist among you must be put," what? "To death." God says, look, if they are mediating and they ain't representing me, you kill them. Now that is a tough law. God said, look, if they prophesy and I didn't talk to them, kill them. Do you know what they did to prophets who didn't prophesy correctly? They stoned them to death. In other words, God said, look, this is deep. God said, kill the media that's not presenting me. Kill them. Don't put them away. Destroy them. That's how dangerous the media is to God. It's a death sentence. Oh, the second one is dangerous. Watch this one. This one is serious. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. It says, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices deviation or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. God says, may they not be among you. By the way, check that list so good, because you may know somebody who qualified to be out of the church. Reading cards, that's omen. Tarot cards. Go to Miami to get your palm read. God says, now let me tell you something. You are an abomination. You trying to get information from me through somebody I didn't set up. I have said to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, I set up no mother divine and papa boo boo. I know who I set. Come on, y'all talk to me. God says, no, don't get me mixed up. They're not between me and you. Matter of fact, that's why God hates for you to read astrology, because you're putting the stars between God and yourself. And God ain't send no star to talk to you. Yeah, but you know, the papers be on my desk. And they give you the paper, just glance at it to check. God says you shouldn't be among it. Write this one down. 1 Samuel 28. Watch the results of wrong media. Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is in the media. Find me someone who's in the middle. I need a media. Show me a medium so I may go and inquire of her. Since God ain't talking to me directly, let me go hire a witch, he says. Boy, that sounds like some of these Bahamians and Caribbean people now. You know, they ain't hear from God no more, so they gone. Paying a couple of dollars and get little things done. God says, uh-uh. Now, let's see what happens when Saul did this, all right? Watch what happens when Saul did this. It says here, now, he misused and abused the kingdom of God. Here's what it says in 1 Chronicles 10, 13, what happened to Saul. It says, and Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. What? Saul died because God killed him. This man made a mistake. God wasn't mad at him, but he consulted the wrong media to get information. What are you doing at 2 o'clock in the morning on your internet? What are you consulting? Where do you surf, young people, to get your information about life? God said, he died because he chose the wrong media to listen to. What books do you buy? What stations do you keep your radio tuned to in your car, young men and women, older men and women? What is constantly being said to your conscious mind and downloaded eventually in your heart? The power of the media. The devil is after your soul. And Saul lost his because he went after the wrong media. It says, so the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to who? David. Over to who? David. Now, I want you to follow David's life versus Saul's life. David had serious media, eh? The largest song book in the Bible was written by this man. is called the Book of Songs. And if you read and listen to his hits, the Lord is my strength and song. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, Dave had the media in the bush, dancing in the mountains. In other words, if you can't find good media, write your own. Got it, young people? That's why I'm so proud of our young people. And listen, we're just getting warmed up. I'm about to kickstart this ministry with new structure. By November, we're going to be on a glide ride. And I'm telling you, we're going to have some stuff happening here that's going to blow you away. I'm just in the preparation stage here. But we're going to have to grab the media in every area to control what goes into the minds of our nation. You can't just sit back and get mad. You got to participate and be glad. You can't leave it. Let's talk about the first use of the media. Before anything existed, what did God use for the media? This is interesting. The first media was simply the word. Everybody say word. Boy, words are important. The word is the medium used by God to communicate his will, his desire, his thoughts, and that resulted in what? The creation of the world. In other words, God had an idea in his mind. He used the media of the word to get it out, and the word produced creation. In other words, the mediation between God and creation is the word. So the first one to introduce media is God himself. And the word was his first media. And today, it is still the most powerful media. What you hear will either kill you or save you. Write this down, please. Genesis 1 says, and God said, verse 3, verse 6, and God said, verse 9, and God said, verse 11, and God said, verse 14, and God said, verse 20, and God said, verse 24, and God said, verse 26, and God said. God did everything by using this medium of the word. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Important thing here is to notice that the word is God. Do you see that? Okay, let me explain why. This word is important. It's the word logos, L-O-G-O-S. Write it down. The word there for the word is the word logos. The Hebrew word and the Greek word here that is translated in the Hebrew and the Greek for logos, it actually means this. It means expression of a thought. Write it down, please. Logos means what? Expression of a thought. Come on, I want you to be smart now, young people. Get this and understand it. The word logos means what? Expression of a thought. So if you were to read that verse and use the literal meaning, it'll sound like this. In the beginning was the expression of God's thoughts. And God's thoughts was God. And God was his thoughts. All things were made by the thoughts of God that were expressed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give God the glory, honor, and praise. That was it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that was Apostle Miles Monroe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This sermon was about mind sermons. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you guys can just say you at all on today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And just take your phones off
my
and
God.
Give God glory,
yes,
honor,
Lord.
And praise, because that
my
was just
God.
For all moment. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank
all
you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm. Praise
hallelujah.
God. My God. Hey.
Thank you, Holy Father.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
my
Jesus.
God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry, Prophet Patricia. Will we have an altar call? Because I don't have one on the lineup.
We can go forth if you like, but he pretty much already did altar call, so if you just want to just go forward, then that's fine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, hallelujah. Your announcements will be posted up this week on the network and social media outlets. And for final remarks, Apostle Tashana said she loves all of you to the host of heaven and beyond, and she said she really appreciates all of you, and may you all have a supersonic, supernatural manifestation, suburb Sunday on purpose. And I guess we'll have closing prayer now. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for everything that we heard on today, Father God. We just thank you for the word, Father God. We thank you for every person that came on the line to listen in and the breakthroughs that have taken place on today, the lives that have been healed on today, Father God. We just thank you for your presence, Lord God. We thank you from the beginning of the service till now, Lord God. And we just give you all praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. In Jesus, amen. And what do we say when we get off the air?
Hold on, Vengeance Precious. Hallelujah. Hold on, Apostle.
I'm
sorry.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry.
But first, I would like to say that I hope everyone take heed to what Apostle Monroe had to say on today. Hallelujah. About getting our minds clear, getting our minds focused. And try to feed our mind with positive things, positive things in life, successful things in life with God. Let read more scriptures about God. Do more communication with God. Let our media cells bring positive things about God. Think about putting, what our browser with God, because our phone browser probably has so much full stuff. So let's just deactivate all of the negative browsers that was on our minds and get some new clear browsers. Hallelujah. If anybody's following me here, because God just wants us to clear our conscience, clear our minds, and allow him to be the only mediator of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I hope everyone just take heed to it and just know that we don't have to create anything. We don't have to feed into that negative thing. We don't have to feed into our negative thoughts. We got to deactivate that. Yes, it's going to take time because we had it for years and been downloading programmed into our minds. But guess what? We still have the victory over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just take all that in and just give God the glory, honor, and praise, because now we are going to download nothing but positive, successful things in our lives in him. And we are going to go higher and higher and strong with him. Hallelujah. So let's just take our phones on mute and just tell God that we have the victory and that we thank him, hallelujah, for the message on today about our minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
So I just want everyone to take that in and just to go forward and to just, when we do pray and consecrate, just know that we are impartaking the spirit. We are feeding the spirit. We are feeding our mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With positive words, with the word is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we are going to have closing song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
the chains.
I've been changed.
In the presence of the Lord, I've been
free.
Delivered.
Delivered.
In your presence, Lord.
Come on,
just one more time.
I want
to
go back.
blessing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
You can go ahead.
Praise the Lord. God bless everyone, my God. We're Women of Strength Voices asking if everyone can come on the line in the morning at 5 a.m. I know it's early, but it's let's make a sacrifice, my God, in the morning for prayer, 5 a.m. On the line. I'm going to put the number in the chambers. But 5 a.m., my God, hallelujah, for prayer. My God, hallelujah. Women of Strength Voices, glory to God, hallelujah. So that's all I have to say.
Hallelujah. And what do we say when we get off the air? Agape.
Agape.
Oh, my God. God bless you all. Hallelujah.